Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast for the week of August 17th through 24th. This week we were joined by Professor Alon Ben-Meir of New York University, who discussed his article Obama's Long War, which appeared in the August 17th issue. His article looks at the war in Afghanistan under the new president and the strategies that he recommends on that front. I spoke to Professor Ben-Meir by phone, and I began by asking him why the Taliban remains a serious threat 7 years after they were ousted by U.S. forces.
Well, a number of things have gone terribly wrong. Number one is following after our initial military successes, we pretty much left Afghanistan, that is, our focus shifted, tragically so I should say, from Afghanistan to Iraq. So what happened there, following military successes, there was nothing, that actually very little has happened to consolidate a military victory in terms of three or four things need to be to have been done. Building up the Afghani military and the Afghani police, and that really did not take place, or very little of that has happened. Focusing major resources on reconstruction, very little of that is happening. Third, we neglected pretty much the narcotic traffic by not offering farmers an alternate farming opportunities or compensation not to farm poppies, or opium. And then the fourth, of course, we have done very little to develop the civilian authority and the proper local, regional, and national government in order to to govern in a proper and effective and just way. So all of these elements, we have sort of touched upon it, but we really never made it a major focus for us. And as a result, things began to deteriorate, and we pretty much lost the victory, that is, the military victory that was enough following the defeat of the Taliban, was basically squandered as a result of that.
During his presidential campaign, Barack Obama pledged to divert more resources to the war in Afghanistan. What has his administration done thus far?
Well, I think that the Obama administration realized pretty much what I've just described, that the failure to attend to these matters in order to make sure that there will be a sustainable governing authority in Afghanistan, and then to maintain not just order, but to ensure that there will be economic and social progress. So what he's trying to do now is basically begin to correct these elements. First, we need to triple the size of the Afghani military. That's going to take tremendous amount of resources and training time. We need to double, if not more so, the police force. We need to institute a new justice system so that, because one of the things that is consuming Afghanistan today is corruption, practically on all level of governing. Of government. That has to be dealt with very, very effectively. And he needs to allocate tremendous amount of resources for reconstruction. That is, we have to have a strategy, and I'm hoping that the administration is adopting this strategy, whereby we go to area by area. That is, once we have to shape it, clean it up, hold it, and then start to build it. If we don't do that, then it becomes only a question of time when the Taliban they come back. That is, the Afghani people need to know that there is a government that they can trust, that there's a government that's going to take care of their social and economic needs, and that the government is going to provide them with the necessary security to remain safe, and that is the only way they can then abandon the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, that occasionally they come and offer them all kind of support. That is why it is necessary for this administration, and I'm hoping this is the direction the Obama administration is going to go, to do just that, trying to make sure that an area that we are clearing of the Taliban, We can hold it by providing the security, by providing the economic assistance and social development, by providing the court system and justice, and then by making sure that the people will feel safe and have an opportunity to be able to make a living. This is a massive, massive effort. And I want to add one thing here, very important. I think the Obama administration may, to some extent, may not have realized even today the extent of this task. If America is determined to win this war, this is not a conflict, this is a war, we're going to have to put all the necessary resources. And so far, I don't think the Obama administration have asked for the enough resources to do the job.
In your opinion, is the war in Afghanistan winnable?
The United States, that is the Obama administration today, ought to make the determination that this is a war, and the question, can we win it? The answer is, we can win it. The next question will be, if we want to win it, since we can win it, are we prepared to put all the necessary resources in it? And since the Obama administration has articulated time and again that this war we cannot afford to lose, and that the return of the Taliban to Afghanistan could undermine not only Afghanistan, certainly Pakistan as well, and then we could experience acts of terror the likes of which we haven't seen to this day. So a commitment to win it will require a long-term commitment of resources, substantial resources. And I think the American public need to be fully aware of this. We are not talking about pennies. We're talking about many, many, many tens of billions of dollars. And if we are not prepared to do so, this war will not be won.
The war in Afghanistan is, as you write, inextricably linked to the political situation in Pakistan. How can the U.S. support the stability of the Pakistani government without being seen as an interfering in their affairs?
The stability in Pakistan depends largely on whether or not both the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are defeated. That is, if the Pakistani government wants to maintain political stability, they have to realize that they are at war themselves. That is, Pakistan itself is at war with its local Taliban as well as Al-Qaeda. So this is not a question of working with the United States to help the United States. It is actually for Pakistan, it's to wage war against internal and external enemy that it is committed to undermining the government and toppling the government and establish a Taliban-oriented government in Pakistan itself. So Pakistan doesn't have the luxury of thinking, well, we can just do A, B, C, and D, but really not commit themselves totally to this war. They need to commit themselves totally to this war, but to this very day, I don't think they have recognized that. To this very day, the military orientation in Pakistan is really still focused on India. And I think this is something that the United States ought to do a great deal more to disabuse the Pakistan of the notion that their enemy today is India rather than the internal Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
We're coming up on the Afghan election, which is scheduled for August 20th. A recent New York Times article reported that some are worried that it won't even take place. What are some of the challenges that the government faces in getting voters to the polls?
Well, there are a number of challenges. First of all, the election is being held under the clouds, the atmosphere of still a very corrupted government. President Karzai did not really demonstrate that he himself was able over the last 4 years as a president to really clean up the government, and he really simply failed in that regard. So there isn't much confidence that he is going to do so now that if he gets reelected, and the likelihood that he will be reelected. This is going to also reduce the number of those who will actually go and vote, because from their perspective, no change is going to take place whether or not they actually go out and vote. That's number one. The second thing They're intimidated by Taliban and by Al-Qaeda, and there's many people who simply will not go to vote because they are fearful for their lives, and that is a major concern. And the third element is to what extent actually these elections can be held in every single province and in every single tribal area. It remains questionable at best. That is, to how are we going to get these people actually to vote, and how are we going to make sure that the voting is done properly, and who's going to do the full monitoring, and to what extent that monitoring is going to succeed. These are all, hanging serious questions that have not really been completely answered.
You mentioned President Hamid Karzai. He's currently leading in the polls, but faces some opposition from his former foreign minister. How popular is the current president, and how are his relations with the Obama administration?
Well, his relations with the Obama administration is actually rather good. The truth of the matter is they're stuck with one another, so it's not like they do have choices. So they have to maintain the best possible face on the relationship, but it so happened to be it's okay. There's quite a bit of cooperation between the two sides. His popularity has dwindled. I mean, he's relatively more popular only because, this is only a relative term, not because he happened to be a popular president. And so we have to be clear. So on that particular point. So the concern I have is more the relationship between the Karzai government, that is President Karzai, and the government of Pakistan. They haven't been able to see eye to eye for a long time. There's a tremendous amount of suspicion and concern between the two sides. And I think we're here where the United States ought to do a better job in trying to improve the relationship between the two sides, making it abundantly clear that the success of one is going to depend on the other, and that the national security of Pakistan and Afghanistan is intertwined. And unless they fully cooperate, both will actually suffer the consequences.
The New York Times had another story this week that the U.S. government has targeted Afghan drug lords for capture and even assassination. Is this a radical change in policy, or was it known in the political community that something like this was going on?
Well, I'm not sure if it is radical. It only became more known in recent days. That should have been the policy for a long time, targeting the drug lords. But the truth of the matter is, more important than killing the drug lords is to deal with those farmers and providing the subsidies to these farmers so they will stop planting. Basically they go to alternate, as I said before, alternate planting of crops other than the opium. That is what needs to be done. And believe it or not, the investment in this regard is not in the billions of dollars. They are actually in the hundreds of millions rather than the billions. And the United States ought to allocate all the necessary resources, because what you need to do, either providing them with the money so they will not plant anything, period, or giving them the means, the tools, and the funding to plant something else. I of course opt for the second, because you want to give them legal and proper employment, farming their own land, provided they get the necessary support and the protection, mind you. And I think that can be done. This is something, a long term process, but it must be done if we're going to end up, trying to end up drug trafficking, at least reduce it substantially.
Now finally, let's look again at the political situation. We're looking at the election next week on August 20th. Most Americans obviously are only vaguely familiar with the issues involved. What sort of things would you recommend to the American viewer to look out for on election day?
What we need to look at, first of all, to see how many people actually, of all the eligible voters, how many actually went out and voted. This is, I think, very important. The second thing is how legitimate these elections have been. That is, was any tampering with the elections, or was not any tampering? This is very important. So from our perspective, that is, We obviously value democracy, we value elections and all of that. So the most important thing we want to was make sure that it is proper, legitimate, and clean election to the extent possible, as well as that actually the numbers have indicated, you know, how actually the majority of the people who are eligible to vote actually did go and vote. But if you have only marginal number of the eligible voters go actually and vote, yes, whoever is elected will be elected, but would that individual actually represent the people? I mean, that is going to be the serious question here. Imagine if only 25% of the eligible voters will vote, that is only a fraction of the Afghani population. And so to what extent that president actually is the legitimate president that actually represents all the people? I mean, these are the questions I have in mind, and I think many Americans will be asking the same question.
Well, we want to thank Professor Ben Meir of New York University for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
We want to thank Professor Ben Meir for joining us. Again, he is Professor of International Relations at the Center for Global Affairs at New York University, as well as the Middle East Project Director at the World Policy Institute. We encourage you to look online this week. As usual, we have special culture reviews that appear just on the web, including a review of Priests on Film. Reminder that you can respond to our podcast by going to americamagazine.podbean.com. This is Tim Reedy for America Magazine.